Time to introduce this week's guests, and joining us is Old Labour Oxford economist Martin Summers. Hi, Martin. Welcome to Dry Time.
Hello, Tony.
Now, we've had some interesting news this week. The quarterly figures from the Bank of England, they're cutting the economic growth forecast to 1.5%, and various other things are happening. But Mervyn King was looking a little bit gloomy this week. Is this just simply... he says towards the end of this year, things will start to pick up. But wasn't he saying that about 6 months ago?
Yeah, well, the Bank of England's got a track record of being over-optimistic about the economy. And in a way, it's part of their job to talk Britain up. But that's why, if you're serious about understanding what's happening, you should always discount it when the Bank of England says things are going to improve. It's their job to say that. It doesn't mean that it will.
So what's the point in the Bank of England if all they're saying is a kind of propaganda trying to talk the markets up? Whereas we know these markets are very volatile.
Well, and that's why central bank governors have to be very careful what they say and when they say it. But it's like, you remember that we used to have Kremlinology, where we interpreted what the Kremlin was saying, and you had to read between the lines to get to the truth of what was happening. That's very much true of central bank governors, and it's very much true of Mervyn King today. I mean, basically, when central bank governors like him are sounding gloomy, the situation is pretty bad, because it's not their job to be gloomy. But of course, if they come out completely optimistic, they're not going to be credible. But I think the economy is probably in worse shape than Mervyn King is intimating. He's just giving a hint to people that it's actually going to be worse than anybody imagined. What he said was that there are unforeseeable and unthinkable factors may kick in. I think those are his exact words. And what he means by that is a collapse in the dollar and the collapse of the euro, which of course is quite feasible from this situation.
Why is he saying it's unthinkable? It's his job to have his head around this stuff.
Well, this is the problem, is for many, many years, not just the Bank of England, but the whole financial services industry is based on hype. Basically, you don't sell people stocks, shares and bonds by telling them they're going to go down. So you're basically saying, hey, buy this snake oil, it's good for you. But of course, sensible people must have realised years ago, sensible people have realised years ago, that the economy is in a serious, serious mess.
Well, you're talking about prices going down. We hear also
not necessarily
today that the European Securities and Markets Authority said on Thursday that short selling combined with rumour mongering has created a strategy that was clearly abusive, and they have actually banned now short selling. Can you just explain what short selling is?
Well, short selling is where you basically bet that the market will go down. The other thing that you can do is naked short selling, where you borrow somebody else's shares to bet that the market will go down. It's getting more and more Byzantine how these financial markets work. But what's interesting is that now that the European authorities have decided to ban short selling, the market has actually perked up a bit. And that goes to show that if they adopt the right policies at government level, expansionary policies, the markets might calm down. I don't hold out much hope of that, because there's far, far too much old think in the system. People are still stuck in the era of free market fantasy land, and it'll take a while before people really wake up to the fact that it's not going to work.
One of the things that they talk about in this Reuters article here is a European assault mirrors one by the US Securities and Exchange Commission on the 19th of September 2008, 4 days after the Lehman Brothers crash. So temporarily banned short selling in 800 banks and other financial institutions. Britain imposed a similar prohibition at that time. Why do they only do this for short periods, Martin? Why is it, you know, can they not just stop?
Because basically they should never have allowed these things to develop in the first place. Myron Scholes, who invented the Black-Scholes theorem, which is the underpinning of all of these derivative contracts which have been written in the financial markets, he himself said a few years ago that the derivatives market must be blown up or burned immediately. Now, instead of facing the reality that virtually all of the junk that's been sold over the last few years is worthless, we're still going through the motions of pretending that the private banks know what they're doing and that all we've got to do is bail them out and everything will eventually come back to normal, whatever that is. That is simply wrong. And over the next few months and weeks, it's going to become absolutely clear to everybody that the economic policy we are pursuing is unsustainable.
Well, finally, on this economics front, we've got Sir George Osborne today saying, I'll beat the forces of of stagnation holding back the economy. George Osborne will launch a crackdown on the forces of stagnation holding back the British economy this autumn after admitting the recovery would be longer and harder than he hoped. He will throw down the gauntlet to the trade unions and other pressure groups by vowing to abolish regulations holding back business when he unveils the government's growth strategy.
Well, it's all supply-side silliness, isn't it? There's a lack of effective demand in the economy, and we've got idle factories, we've got idle people, there's loads and loads of spare capacity. So the idea that getting rid of regulation is what's going to make the market suddenly magically, like the tooth fairy, appear with a sixpence in her hand, is frankly going to be shown to be absolutely stupid. Before Christmas, George Osborne will be shown to be absolutely wrong about the economy. He's been wrong all along. Serious economists like Paul Krugman and others in the States have been saying all along the policy's wrong. By Christmas, it'll be absolutely clear that it's completely wrong. And at that point, there is going to be a crisis in the government. There's a crisis in the economy already, but there's going to be a political crisis.
Now, recriminations about the Stokescroft disturbances are rumbling on. Tesco's is fortified, but still open. And a young man, Joe Foster's due in court soon, accused of making a petrol bomb. Well, it may seem obvious, but why is this case so important, Martin? This particular one from back at Easter time.
Because it looks as if Joe Foster didn't make a petrol bomb. And the existence of a petrol bomb was the reason why Avon and Somerset police called in three outside riot squads from South Wales, Wiltshire and Devon, which then ran amok in Stokescroft, causing all kinds of injuries to local residents.
Well, we shouldn't second guess the results of that particular court case, but certainly a lot does hinge on it, doesn't it?
It does, because what seems to be happening, there must have been pre-planning by the police to bring in three outside, out-of-town riot squads. I want to see a timeline of when they thought there was a petrol bomb, whether there was a petrol bomb, and why they brought in three riot squads to deal with it, which I think is an inappropriate response anyway. And on the Bristol City Council website, there is an e-petition for a full inquiry into what happened on that day. And I think we definitely need one.
Okay, I'd also like to introduce Alex Hutchings. Alex, you live on Brigstock Road in St Paul's. Welcome to Drive Time.
Thank you very much.
Now, can you tell us your experiences of the Easter disturbances, Alex? Because I know you came along to one of the public meetings. I met you there. What were your thoughts about the sort of, what happened that evening, and those two evenings, and why it happened?
Well, I was around on both of those evenings. As you said, I live in the area, I live quite close by. I came home about 10 o'clock on the first occasion, and there was obviously something sort of significant happening in the Stokescroft area. I turned off City Road, into City Road, and there were sort of police vans and stuff around, and there was obviously atmosphere about. So to the extent that I went home, parked up, and went up to have a look and see what was going on. And by that time, they'd obviously been into the squat earlier on in the evening, and things had been going on for some time. But it was still kind of there was an awful lot of people on the street. There were lots and lots of local residents, people that I've known from the time that I've lived in that area, going back a long way. That a lot of people were out on the street and were very kind of distressed and upset and annoyed. Excuse me, at what appeared to be taking place and the police.
To what extent do you think people were there just to watch, and to what extent were they actually wanting to intervene?
Well, I'll give you one example, right? I'm like a person of no consequence whatsoever, right? But the only small thing I would say is I've lived in that area for a long time. I do know a few people, and when it was obvious that there was a situation getting out of hand and that there was a potential for trouble and violence, I looked around and made an attempt to speak to a relatively senior on the ground police officer, and the bloke totally disrespected me. He wouldn't give me a minute. They were intent on a pattern of things.
Well, surely he's in the middle of he's doing his job. I mean, he can't sort of just hold that for a minute and have a chat with you, Alex.
Well, I'm not suggesting he just hold that and have a chat with me. This was before trouble had kicked off. This was before any real violence had kicked off. And at that stage, there was still the potential to possibly avoid the confrontation that took place. And yeah, he's in his capacity of doing his job, but also you've got to be, if you come into an area, you've got to take advantage of whatever resources are available to you in the area. And all I'm trying to suggest is that the attitude of the police from that night, this out of town commander, and he wasn't just disrespectful, he was totally rude, the chances are that, like you say, Tony, the chances are that there was absolutely nothing, no chance change or no difference that I could have made whatsoever. But he didn't even give me 2 minutes just to explore the possibility of, are there any local people from the local community here who may be able to help to defuse this situation? He didn't want to know. Not, you know.
Yeah, I think this is what's worrying me, particularly about this sequence of events, is that to bring three out-of-town riot squads in implies pre-planning. And that's why we need an inquiry. We need to see a timeline. When was it that the so-called petrol bomb was identified by the police? How did they identify it? Was it, for example, Tesco's security that phoned in? That's what we understand from the grapevine. And we need to see a proper timeline, because it looks to me as if there was an attempt to provoke a riot by the kind of tactics that the police adopted. And if we think about what's happened in the last week, how irresponsible is it of Avon and Somerset Police to bring in three out-of-town riot squads and provoke a riot right on the edge of St Paul's?
But Martin, the trouble is, of course, that there aren't enough riot-trained police and able instantly to be able to be put into those riot vans
let me just put this to you. Number one, we're not even clear that there was a petrol bomb, and Joe Foster is to go to court as somebody with learning difficulties and alcohol problems, I understand, age 20, and it looks as if he's being set up for this petrol bomb rap.
Martin, we can't say that until we've had the results.
We're all waiting for the court appearance. If there was a petrol bomb, it's going to be very difficult for them to link him to it, because he certainly was not in the squat at the time. So they've got to have fingerprint evidence or something similar. If they're just trying to make him a fall guy, we're going to be very angry about that. And if he walks, of course, the police's case for bringing in out-of-town riot squads starts to disintegrate. Now, what I suspect may have happened here, my copper's instinct, if you like, is that senior people in Avon and Somerset Police, possibly the Colin Port, the chief inspector, have been playing golf with Tesco's bosses. And they were putting pressure on for something to be done about the peaceful protests against Tesco's. Something was done.
Yes, but there's no reason why the Chief Constable shouldn't be playing golf with someone from Tesco's.
Well, listen, this is just a suspicion. If Joe Foster walks, as I suspect he will, from this forthcoming trial, then the questions have to be asked, what were the police doing on the day? Now, in any case, if there was a petrol bomb, I would suggest that the way to deal with that is to send down a small squad of people.
They handled it and
knock on the door and say, excuse me, we're coming in here, we're looking, turning up with three riot squads was absolutely provocative. And those three riot squads, as Alex will know, then ran amok, and there's going to be massive criminal compensation claims against those police officers.
It was 8:30 on a Thursday evening on a hot day just before a bank holiday in Stokes Croft, and it was just a ridiculous time to send in, you know, if there was the potential of danger for a petrol bomb. Again, you know, I've spoken to police officers in the area at the meeting and various things, and who are adamant that there was a petrol bomb and it was a credible threat. But even if it was there, the fact is that, you know, that it was obvious that there was going to be trouble. But, you know, I mean, let's be clear about this, and that, you know, it's not clear yet who's going to benefit from these riots that have been taking place, whether it was in Stokes Croft or Hackney or whatever. But one thing's for sure, numbers to the police are now no longer going to be cut, and so we've got to ask some questions about these things.
Well, actually, I think you'll find that the Home Secretary is saying that actually the police cuts are going to continue.
Yeah, he's saying
that. There seems to be a bit of a battle going on between David Cameron and Theresa May and the Association of Chief Police Officers over responsibility for, you know, why was it that not enough police were around in Tottenham, for example, on Saturday night?
I'd like to answer that. I'll tell you why they weren't in Tottenham. They weren't in Tottenham, and they weren't in Hackney, and they weren't in the other parts of London, like Croydon, for example, because on the first night they were too busy protecting places like Westminster, Knightsbridge, Oxford Circus, Chelsea, and where the wealthy live, and they didn't have enough police to protect the wealthy, make sure the wealthy stayed safe and protect the poorer areas as well, and that's why they weren't there. By the time they doubled the numbers up, they had enough to put them in a few of the poorer areas as well. And the only in between places that caught it were places like Clapham and Ealing, which are sort of middle class areas, and they weren't quite wealthy enough for them to protect, but they stood out because they didn't quite fit in with the pattern of the working class areas where the people were being bounced back into.
Yeah, we can go on to the riots we've had this week in a minute. I just don't want to lose this point. If there was a petrol bomb in Telegraph Heights, then if I was a police officer, I wouldn't wait half a day to bring in three extra riot squads to deal with it. If I'd got information that there was a petrol bomb in Telegraph Heights, I'd be down there quick sharp with a small team.
Yeah.
And they must have waited Yeah. Yeah? They must have waited, because to bring guys from Cardiff takes at least an hour, doesn't it? And why wait an hour to bring in three riot squads to deal with it?
I think it was either that. They made a massive error of judgment, and I think either they needed to have done that, or alternatively, they needed, because it was never definite as to what the situation was. They needed to put a dozen or even two dozen plainclothes people on the spot to monitor the situation and have a team ready to move very swiftly if it changed.
Well, what I suspect may have happened here, because we know for a fact that local beat officers spoke to the protesters outside Tesco's and said, we are being leaned on to lean on you.
Yeah.
Two days before.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that, guys, but something is going to happen. And then something did.
Yeah.
Now, I think we're not talking about the police in general. We're talking about particular officers making particular decisions. Have they colluded with Tesco's? Because that's the question in my mind, and that's why we need an investigation to find out whether there was collusion between senior officers in Avon and Somerset Police and Tesco's management. Now, I'm not saying that they did collude, but it's a suspicion in our minds. Just like when you see somebody breaking a window, you think maybe they're going to loot. These are just coppers' suspicions. And if Joe Foster walks, as I think he will, from this trial, then the questions will then be raised.
We'll have to wait to see for the results of that case.
That's why we have courts and juries, isn't it? So the police don't just judge their own case.
Now, Alex, what are your thoughts about the actual sparking of these present riots with this the killing of Mark Duggan? Certainly there's a mistrust between the ethnic minority community in Tottenham and the police. They feel rather nervous if anything happens about actually phoning the police, because they don't necessarily feel they trust them. Do you think we've got a similar situation like that potentially here in Bristol too?
We've got a generation, we've got a section of the community here in Bristol who have total animosity towards the police. It was funny. It is interesting with regards to the Tesco's riots, because on the first night it was a tangible more politically motivated. By the time the second event started to happen, there was also this issue of confrontation with the police, of venting of local disenfranchised local youths from the community. And I think that exists in Tottenham, it exists in Manchester, it exists in Bristol. It's you know.
So why don't they trust the police? Why is there animosity?
Okay, right. My views, who knows, but it's not about the police. It's not about the police. The police are representation, are the maintenance of a system, of a status quo. We live in a status quo, and the police are the enforcers and the maintenance of that status quo. So for those youths, if the status quo isn't working for them, and if they choose to confront the status quo in any way whatsoever, then it's the police that they come up against. It's as simple as that.
It's called the law, isn't it? If they want to steal something, then the police may feel their collar.
Or protest.
It's called the law, but the law, you know, the law is laws change over time, and laws are subjected to circumstances and situations. And,
well, certainly
and
laws over whether you're allowed to wear a balaclava and things like that seem to be changing quite quickly.
Yeah.
But why the mistrust? Do you think this is just because the young people just feel that the system is against them somehow?
It's not just young people that feel that. I think within that question you just asked me is a really key word, and that is feel. And from my understanding, those young people are acting on the way they feel. They feel a certain way. Now they're articulate in their own language, in their own communities, but in terms of expressing themselves to the greater society, they're not articulate, they're not necessarily educated, they're not necessarily equipped and able to express the way they feel or fully understand the way they feel, but they feel a certain way, and what they're doing is they're allowing the way they feel to let them act. They're acting upon the way they feel, and then within those actions are coming out with behaviours that people find so easy to condemn and are horrified by and so on and so forth.
Well, of course, if it involves arson and involves looting from a local shopkeeper, the people are going to condemn it. What's your solution, Alex? Just, you know, you're just someone that happens to live on Brookstock Road. What would you like to see change to make
safer? I believe in massive fundamental changes to the nature of the society we live in, and the what's happening at the moment is a reflection of the fact that there is something fundamentally wrong at the bottom of society.
So what would you like to tweak if you had the power to do it?
Well, I'd start with the royal family. They can go, and I'd like to see somebody from Brigstock Road have the ability to be the head of state of this country at some time, not just because they happen to be born into
something. You're putting yourself forward.
Basically, what I'm saying is there's this ethic in this country that if you work hard that you can be born into a wealthy family, go to a public school and a top university. Well, it doesn't matter how hard you work, you're not going to be born into that family, and something is fundamentally wrong. We look at the money that footballers earn, and you look at the bankers, and you look at what's happening in the banking sector, you look at the MPs fiddling their expenses, you look at the police taking backhanders in the from Rupert Murdoch and his lot, and there's so much going on that, and these kids think, well, you lot are all taking a mickey. Like, you know, how can you possibly, you know, we look at the people that are dying in the Pakistan tribal regions with drone attacks. I mean, are we all filthy scum because it suits us that these families are being blown to death? We don't call ourselves filthy scum, do we? But suddenly, because they have a bit of collateral damage, so basically, there's going to be a lot more trouble as far as I can see, and it isn't going to go away. And it's a bit like in Japan, you don't build a building without putting in earthquake protection in the building. There's no point. And at the moment, we're building this lovely, pretty society, but there's no earthquake protection in the bottom of it. And it is going to go wrong. And these kids are doing us a massive favour because they are telling us that we need to make some fundamental changes.
Martin, do you think there's actually any chance of real fundamental change, like Alex is calling for?
Yes, I think the crisis, particularly in the banking system, is the worst we've ever seen, ever, really. And this is the opportunity to get those changes through, which should have happened years ago.
Yeah, well, it's not going to happen with the Tories, is it?
No, it's not, but this is where politics comes in. We want, I mean, look at the Northern Ireland struggle over 30 years. We don't necessarily want to go to civil war either, do we?
No.
We want it resolved through dialogue, and that means everybody saying what they really mean and meaning what they say, and finding a way through dialogue. But that's going to be a hard dialogue, because basically the people at the top have been stealing from the rest of the society for a very long time, and they get used to the idea that they're allowed to. They've got to get used to the idea that they're not going to be allowed to.
Okay, well,
that's going to be a tough one.
Okay, Martin and Alex Hutchings, thanks ever so much for your point of view. We're going to have some music now, and next, Will Stinton. He's also from around the Stokes Croft area. I mean, I'm not sure exactly where Will is, but he was certainly down having a look and seeing what was going on during the Easter disturbances, so we'll have a chat to him after some music.
Hi, my name's Next Gen Man, I'm back. I'm the one who did the Andrew Lansley rap. Yeah, I hammered him, back with a bang again. Now I'm gonna take out the main man, Cameron. MC rapping, MP attacking. I'm not political, but I stand up for the man them. And these rappers acts are not random. I'm just sick of these condemned. The one that cut the lower class like sandwiches and still give the bonuses to the bankers. They're pulling the poor down like anchors. I'm angered, taking us out is their answer. They're all active in front of the cameras. They're trying to kill us off, they're the public's cancer. Act faster, be a Jedi. Take out Cameron, the dark side master. The rich people's cash gets greater. The public services go for the cheese grater. When I get millionaire neighbours, I'm still gonna vote for Labour. Just open your eyes and look, we're gonna be stuck in a rut if they make these cuts. The public sector faces depression, but not the sector that caused the recession. Everybody stand up if you're against the cuts. Everybody stand up if you're against the cuts. Everybody stand up if you're against the cuts. The banks mocked it up, but we've been left to pick the pieces up. Everybody stand up if you're against the cuts. Everybody stand up if you're against the cuts. Everybody stand up if you're against the cuts. Cameron, Clegg and Osborne, they just don't give a oh.
Welcome to the big society. They want fewer 999 operators, bin men, ambulance drivers, paramedics, dinner ladies, lifeguards, nurses, hospital porters, youth workers, teaching assistants,
The list goes on. Look, city pay and the year has risen to 7%, but the fairness is missing. So they're taking dinner ladies out the kitchen and getting rid of all the teaching assistants. I represent the next generation, so I can speak to all the kids, so listen. Bad things are happening to the nation. It's because of the Common Coalition. Yeah, I know politics is boring. You're probably gonna start yawning and then snoring. Cameron and Clegg are in charge, cause the young people see politics and ignore it. They wanna charge $9,000 to the students. You're gonna need a rich mummy to do this. And at EMA, you're gonna lose it. The one that caught Chorley maternity unit, you should give a top. This is frightening. Barclays boss, his name's Bob Diamond. This year's got a 6 million bonus. The cuts are gonna make some people homeless. Cameron and Clegg, where's your heart? Sure starting the poor parts are gonna get cut hard. The rich are gonna live like stars. The working class, they're gonna get parred. Everybody stand up if you're against the cuts. Everybody stand up if you're against the cuts. Everybody stand up if you're against the cuts. The banks mocked it up, but we've been left to pick the pieces up. Everybody stand up if you're against the cuts. Everybody stand up if you're against the cuts. Everybody stand up if you're against the cuts. Cameron, Clegg and Osborne, they just don't give a fuck. Everybody stand up if you're against the cuts. Everybody stand up if you're against the cuts. Everybody stand up if you're against the cuts. The banks mocked it up, but we've been left to pick the pieces up. Everybody stand up if you're against the cuts. Everybody stand up if you're against the cuts.
MC Next Gen there, he's the chappie that came out with the Andrew Lansley rap a little bit earlier on in the year, and that's his latest one, Everybody Stand Up If You're Against the Cuts. Now, on to talking about Stokes Croft again, and I'm joined now by Will Stinton. And Will, can you just, you were living around about the Ashley Road area at Easter time when these riots, stroke disturbances were taking place. Can you just tell us what your experience was of the second of the two nights?
Yeah, I was in the Pipe and Slippers opposite the Telegraphic Heights building, and there was a party going on outside which just seemed to be very well behaved, and it was a bit jolly. It was a long bank holiday weekend, sunny, so people were out in the streets and drinking, and suddenly at about, it must have been about 11 o'clock in the evening, I can't remember the exact time because it's a few months ago, horses and followed by stormtroopers and dogs come charging down the road and dispersed everybody out into...
So were you actually stood on the pavement?
No, I was actually in the pub, the actual Pipe and Slippers, if anyone knows it. It's got a little sort of like a bus stop thing outside the pub.
It's right on the junction of Ashley Road and Stokes Croft.
That's correct, yeah. Which is almost directly opposite the Telegraph Heights building. And so there didn't seem to be any trouble at all until the police come charging down the road with horses and stormtrooper uniforms and dogs, and dispersed people into St Paul's. I think the gentleman was saying they seemed to protect the more affluent areas up the hill. They barricaded the roads off, and I was actually trying. Then the pub closed, and I tried to leave, and the police wouldn't let me out of that particular area.
Well, surely you've got to be able to go either down Stokes Croft or up Stokes Croft.
No,
otherwise you're trapped on the pavement there.
I was completely trapped in the area. They basically had the road closed off from the Colson Girls' Schools right down.
That's just a bit up Stokes
Croft.
That's
further up, yeah, up past the next junction and about halfway up. And they basically they had a line of police from the girls' school all the way down to about halfway down Stokes Croft into town. And we got stuck in the area. The pub was closed because of what was going on in the area. And we tried to leave. We went up to the police. We asked if we can go through to go home. And the police wouldn't let us out.
Now, I better remind you that I did actually talk to the Avon and Somerset Police Press Office three times this week and invite them to put their point of view, either on the phone or in person, but they didn't return any of my calls. Martin, this whole idea of trapping people, like Will was trapped, and you couldn't go up Stokes Croft, you couldn't go down Stokes Croft. This sounds like a sort of mini kettle, almost.
Well, it does. I mean, I just hear what the people who were there tell me. I mean, I wasn't there, so I'm not going to make any presumptions about what happened or didn't happen, which I didn't see myself. But I've heard a lot of reports from people about both nights of disturbances, if we can call them that. I mean, in many ways, I think they were rather different from what we've seen in the last week, because it was very much the police who were in the driving seat on both occasions at Easter. Whereas I think what's happened in the last week in Bristol is very regrettable copycat behaviour by a minority of people, but we're talking about large numbers of ordinary people being caught up in a police operation which seems to be utterly misconceived on both nights.
Will, can you just tell us what happened? What has things developed that evening?
Yeah, well, we tried to get out and we asked the police if we could leave, and they said no, and said, look, you know, this is 12 o'clock at night, we want to go home, you know. Or let's go to the shop so we can maybe get a beer and go home or whatever. And we refused, and we were battered back in the end.
Battered back to where? Because
we
were
pushed back into that area. They just wouldn't let us go through. And, you know, obviously we'd had a few drinks by then, so we might not have been the nicest people to the police. And you know, we apologise for that, but we did try to get out, be nice to them, and try to say that we want to go home. You know, what do you want us to do? To sit in the streets and we'll cause more trouble here? You know. I end up in a bit of a fracas with the police and a few injuries. Nothing. No, I didn't get injured.
Did you actually want to go home past the Tesco's? Because I imagine the police wouldn't want you to go that way, would they?
That was the area that was open for us to be in, and we could have walked around that area as much as we liked, you know. But we couldn't go out of that area. There was no way to get into any domestic areas.
So are you saying that the area of Stokescroft, which is where the Tesco's is, was sealed off at both ends then?
Yeah, both ends. And there was people in pubs and in restaurants, and none of us had anywhere to go. I know a couple of people were chased down a lane and hit by the police. So five girls, actually, by some police, charged them down a lane. You know, I was just thinking...
Looking at this from the police's point of view, it's quite difficult to do this without the police here, but you can imagine that if there's been potentially people involved in preparing petrol bombs in that area, that they may wish to make sure that nobody actually runs out of the area, gets away from the area, until they're certain that they've got all the people that they want to get for that particular potential alleged offence.
Well, I didn't believe there was actually any petrol bombs even mentioned.
Yeah, the second night, there was no question of those.
No, oh, okay. It seemed to be more about what was going on outside the squat, and that was, I said, it was a very good-natured party.
Yeah, but I mean, was this a party actually out in the road?
No. There's a big area off the road. There might have been people spilling out onto the road a little bit, but you know, it's just late at night on a bank holiday, and there was very little traffic about. There was very little. Everyone was out in the streets and enjoying themselves.
Well, okay, Will. So, what exactly? What are your thoughts then about whether this, if in any way, relates to all the trouble we've seen over this week, at the beginning of this week, in London? Because that all started last week with the death of Mark Duggan, who was shot by a policeman using a dum-dum bullet, or at least an armed policeman. And that's then caused looting, rioting, that kind of thing in Tottenham, where the police didn't seem to be really in enough numbers to stop it. That has then led to copycat things going on in other parts of London, particularly bad on Monday night after the initial looting on Saturday night. How do you think that relates to the situation that we have here in Bristol? Because this has got a lot of this has got to do, it seems, with marginalised young people who don't feel that they have a stake in society, and also a slow breakdown of trust with the police.
Well, it's not just the young people feel let down by society, the police, the government, the local council. I think a lot of people in the whole that area, the Tesco's thing, that reportedly 93% of the people didn't want Tesco's there, but the council still put it there. And when you stop listening to the local people and those voices are silenced, they've got no other means of communicating to people, you know, without actually going out there and protesting and shouting and screaming, you know, we want our town back, we want our country back. Yeah, there's been much talk about the bankers and the politicians, and you know, who seem to have gotten away with raping and pillaging and looting and vandalising our country financially. Yeah, but it's the people who get affected the most who seem to get the most trouble. Yeah.
I think that's right. I mean, I think we've got to distinguish between the kind of rioting we've seen this week, where it's very much people with low education, no opportunities, getting a really raw deal from the society, and of course they kick back in a rather unpleasant way. Now, the Stokescroft business was actually, the protests against Tesco's were very dignified and peaceful until the police escalated to a level which created all sorts of problems, and of course then carried out attacks on local residents, which are clearly criminal attacks. I mean, people have been, we're talking about broken, we're not talking black eyes, we're talking broken bones and serious injuries on local residents. Mm-hmm. I think the police, if they're honest with themselves, will say that they called that one wrong, that they created more problems by their attitude than were necessary. Mm-hmm. But of course, in the real world, especially in poor communities, people do need the police. You can't just wave a magic wand and say that everything's fine. The police need to do their job properly, and where they're not doing it properly, they need to be brought to account. And that goes for everybody. That goes for a looter, it goes for a police officer, it goes for a banker. But of course, we all know that the people at the top are not brought to account. And that's one of the things that makes everybody so angry.
Single bank hasn't been brought to charge. One single bank.
Well, Bernie Madoff. Yes, but what you expect to happen, the Pecora Commission in the 1930s sent hundreds of bankers to prison. The savings and loan scandal in the 1980s, 3,500 people in the United States were sent to prison. That's what you expect to happen after something like this, and it simply hasn't happened. Now, we know that Goldman Sachs was selling derivatives in the front of the house that they were betting against in the back of the house. That is fraud. That is fraud. But nothing. You know why they haven't pursued any of these frauds in the US or in Britain? Because they were all doing it. Yeah. And if they go for one lot, they'll have to go for them all.
Yeah.
Now I say, go for them all. Because that will solve a lot of our problems from a financial point of view, because we just confiscate all the loot.
Will, this second night of disturbances back at East was when police called in the riot police to remove a pre-organised peaceful anti-Tesco event in the street. Now, apparently that is, I mean, were you there for that event? Because apparently there was a kind of party organised by a food group who were associated with trying to make sure that Tesco's didn't open, because they want local people running local food shops.
Yes, I believe there's people are trying to set up a people's supermarket in the area, and there's been a few things outside Tesco since there's been
peaceful things.
Oh, very, very peaceful. I think most people, the majority of people, want to keep it peaceful, because we all know that violence just brings the military or weapons onto the streets, or
if you live in the community, you don't want to smash it up.
But if it looks like it may be closing the Tescos, which actually should have a right to actually be trading there, surely it's inevitable that the police are going to come.
No one has a right to trade anywhere, do they? Why do Tesco's necessarily have a right to trade on Stoke's Croft? If the local population don't want something there, why should they have it there?
I think as the law stands, I mean, David Cameron's talking about localism, and you could come to a situation where it could be possible for a local community to say we don't want Tesco's. But as things stand, Tesco's are legally allowed to be there, and the council tried to object, and they haven't got the power. But on the other hand, people have the right peacefully to protest outside Tesco's. But Tesco's have just got to swallow that. Just as they have the right to trade, other people have the right to stand outside with a sign saying don't shop here. Now, these are the rules for everybody. And what's happening here is that people, whether they're police officers whacking somebody with a baton or setting a dog on them, or somebody breaking a window, the rules are the rules. And the same goes for the bankers. The rules are the rules. If it's fraud, it's fraud. And there's a general attitude that other people must obey the law but not me, and that goes right across the society. And we saw where that ended in Northern Ireland, and now they are trying to build a police force in Northern Ireland that's acceptable to all sections of the community. And because they've been to hell and back, people are prepared to make the necessary compromises. Are we going to have to go there before we are prepared to make the necessary compromises? Let's hope not.
Okay, Will, just to sum up, what would you like to see as a sort of solution to these kind of things? You've obviously talked about the situation with Tesco's. You don't think that they should have a right to open there. But what about the wider question about a disaffected youth who seem quite happy to come out on the streets and, you know, do this kind of feral thing of running around and robbing and looting? What would you like to see done?
And murdering.
To put a stop to that?
I think the local community, the community leaders, maybe the spiritual leaders, church leaders, school leaders, need to start communicating with the councillors and the police, and actually having a sensible debate about what is really going on. Yeah? Without the council and the police just dismissing it out of hand that it's just a few minority causing trouble just because they want to.
Coming up next, Sky News at 7. Thanks very much to our guests in the first hour, Lib Dem Councillor for Ashley, John Rogers. Also in the second hour to Will Stinton and Alex Hutchings. Not forgetting Old Labour Oxford economist Martin Summers, and you just heard Marina Morris. You can hear, find us on the internet at thisweek.org.uk or go to the BCFM website, that is bcfm.org.uk.